See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firm till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
So today's message is entitled The Deceitfulness of Sin. And I'm going to pray in a minute, but I'll make a couple remarks before I do. You may discern from the title, The Deceitfulness of Sin, that this may not be a feel-good message. I pray that if you have questions about it, that you feel free to come to me and we can discuss it at fellowship or at another time, and I would be glad to do that. And I know that not everyone would agree with everything that's said, so I will pray for the Lord to be in this message. Let's go to God in prayer now. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present God of the universe, Lord, we know that you know us better than ourselves, our comings and goings, when we rise up, when we lie down, the words on our lips before we speak them, and the motivations of our hearts that give root to those words. We thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word, inerrant, perfect, and that it's when there's a problem, Lord, it's always with us that the problem exists. So we pray for God the Holy Spirit to be here in abundance. Let us submit our spirit to God the Holy Spirit so that we may be prepared to hear, to evaluate, and Lord, to be transformed by your truth. Lord, I pray personally that I not hinder your work, that I proceed with love and care. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, when is speeding really speeding? I mean, after all, what's the big deal? Everybody does it. It's actually safer to stay up with traffic. And there is the posted speed limit, and then there's, you know, the real speed limit, right? How about this? So let's say you worked over at AtlantiCare at the hospital on Jimmy Leeds Road, and you had access to the pharmaceuticals. And because you're a kind, loving person, you know that there's many poor that don't have access to these medicines and these painkillers and to medical care because they don't have health insurance. Is it okay to open a free clinic, steal the pharmaceuticals from the hospital, and then give them to the poor? Do you hear anything wrong with this announcement? Last week, the National Abortion Federation tapped Catherine Ragsdale, a lesbian Episcopal priest, as the International Abortion Organization's new president and CEO. Father Dwight Longnecker tweeted this. First, we overlook evil. Then, we permit evil. Then, we legalize evil. Then, we promote evil. Then, we celebrate evil. And then, finally, we persecute those who still call it evil. Now, working on this message this week, I realized something that I'd never realized before, that devil is spelled D, evil. Two Saturdays ago, the Greater New Jersey Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church had a special called session up north here in Lincroft, New Jersey. The session was to discuss the findings of the commission on a way forward. To be frank, the Methodist Church is not united at all. And in my opinion, the way forward findings undermine 2,000 years of the Christian Church's understanding of marriage and is hopelessly deceived in its findings. It started with a praise and worship service at 9 o'clock, so Carol and I were on the road early. And so I got on the Garden State Parkway at the White Horse Pike. I got up to 65, set the cruise control, got over into the right-hand lane. And we were on the parkway all the way up to exit 109, nearly 70 miles. Guess how many cars I passed? Yeah, that's what I set you up for that. One. I passed a turquoise classic car. I think it was like a 1940s model. That's the only car I passed on the whole way. Now, everyone else on the road for 70 miles passed me. They were all speeding, except when we would come up to a place where there was a state trooper. Then they would slow down. And most of them would even pull over a little bit. Now, maybe they all had good reasons. Maybe they didn't really care. And when we got there, the worship service was already underway. And I confess that I felt it would have been hypocritical for me to join them because I was not feeling particularly worshipful. There was some resentment on my part to have to sacrifice the better part of a day when the outcome seemed predetermined. And I felt it would be an ungodly outcome. Well, at 10 o'clock, the business portion of the meeting started. And when it came time to discuss the findings and the pending legislation, two women came up to the platform, up to the podium, to inform us how we were to proceed, how we were allowed to speak about what was going on, about the issues. They introduced themselves by name, and then they gave their preferred personal pronouns. This, they said, was to demonstrate that they were safe people to talk to. And then they continued to tell us the kind of language that was acceptable. Then they established a significant boundary. We were not to use the Bible to support our positions. Yeah, you heard me correctly. We were not to use the Bible to support our positions. They explained that everyone there believed the Bible supported their position. They just read it differently. So a church body, a Christian church body, would not have a theological discussion about its future. The scriptures were off the table. The Way Forward team recommended to the Greater New Jersey leadership that they make available trained facilitators to assist interested congregations to develop covenants about ministry with the LGBTQIA plus persons and the LGBTQIA plus community. Of course, this is absolutely necessary, as is ministry to every community. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. What was not written, but what was explained in the discussion, is that the definition of ministry was expanded. The ministry included, that they were talking about, clergy performing same-sex marriages. This ministry included encouraging those living the LGBTQIA plus lifestyles to pursue ordination as clergy in the United Methodist Church. This became crystal clear when our bishop said that there would be no trials for anyone performing same-sex marriages in New Jersey. Even though the Book of Discipline, which all the clergy took a vow to uphold, forbids same-sex marriage, and the Special General Conference for the whole world's United Methodist Church in St. Louis this past winter actually strengthened those provisions, That prohibition will not be enforced by our bishop. The bishop explained that the United Methodist Church has changed. The legislative branch, called General Conference, the executive branch, the Council of Bishops, and the Judicial Council, he said, are all broken. He needs to consider our context here in Greater New Jersey. And of course, we know what's best for us. Then the Board of Ordained Ministry shared that the last 2 years they have ignored the guidance of the General Conference in the Book of Discipline, and they actually passed a resolution openly defying those guidelines. Later, a male clergy person went to the microphones and raised an objection about the redefinition of ministry to the LGBTQIA+ community. He said that he was conservative and traditional, but his son was gay, and he had a very active ministry in the gay community. So he objected to this redefinition. The objection fell on deaf ears. Instead, a resolution to affirm the bishop's no trial position and the Board of Ordained Ministries position was put forth. That resolution passed. Now, the Wesleyan Covenant Association, which I have asked the leadership to consider joining, the leadership, they submitted, right, immediately after that session, in writing, requests to the bishop to rule on points of law that they believed have been violated. And the bishop has 30 days to respond. Not only was I highly disappointed by the proceedings, I found it incomprehensible. How could the seemingly obvious not be clear? I wondered. My conclusion was that they were deceived. Now, the week following that Saturday was the week before election, right? Radio, TV, and even social media was exploding with political advertisements. And some of those campaigns had devolved into name-calling. You're a liar. No, you're a liar. The thing is, they only told partial truths. You voted against women health initiatives. No, actually, I voted against the bill because it included provisions that forced the Catholic Church to pay for things it doesn't believe in. You voted to raise taxes. Well, actually, it was to subsidize school lunches. You can see why deception and the deceitfulness of sin have been on my mind. A friend suggested that I look up the word insidious. I'm sure you use that word all the time, right? Insidious? I know Butch does. It means having a gradual and cumulative effect. A good example would be a disease that develops so gradually as to be well established before becoming apparent. Insidious means awaiting a chance to entrap. It is harmful but enticing. It is seductive. Yes, insidious is a good synonym for deceitful. This is why we are warned against unbelief and rebellion. We are warned against hardened hearts that turn away from God. We need to be diligent because otherwise we will not be aware of it happening. It's similar to the way that ice forms, right? At first, you get the slightest skim of hardness on the surface. And if a wind blows or there's some movement in the water, it's easily broken up. But as time goes on, gradually, millimeter by millimeter, it thickens and becomes hardened. It gets to the point where you need a hammer to break the ice. And eventually, it will get thick enough for you to drive your snowmobiles on it. Brothers and sisters, we must encourage each other in the things of the faith daily, we're told in this scripture. Now, some translations say we must exhort each other daily. I like that better. We must exhort each other daily. Yes, the threat is real and the consequences are eternal. The coldness of sin can kill. I read an account of a survivor of the German concentration camps. A teenage boy was in a train boxcar with many other Jews on their way to a concentration camp. It was cold. It was very cold. And at night, the train pulled off onto a sidetrack, and they were locked in that boxcar with no heat overnight. And next to the boy was an old man, and he looked terrible. The boy knew that he had to do something to prevent the old man from freezing to death. And even though the boy was extremely cold and tired himself, he huddled with the old man and rubbed his skin all through the night. And when morning finally came, the sunlight revealed a gruesome sight. As the boy looked around the boxcar, death was everywhere. There were only two people that made it, that survived through the night. The teenage boy and the old man. We need community. There is survival power in community. We must constantly connect and cajole to keep out cold-heartedness. Layer by layer, sin hardens the heart. Staying faithful requires diligence. Always stay alert. It requires endurance. Our enemy is crafty, and he knows my weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. We're told here each day we must hold firmly to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we're warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Our brothers and sisters are there to keep us from falling. Now, about a month ago, I was at the basketball course down here on Quail Boulevard, about one block down. And as usual, there were young men and teenage boys there, and one of them put on some loud rap music. And as you can probably guess, it was filled with profanity and filth, and I started to go to the other side of the court, and they're like, wait, are you leaving? And I said, no, I'm just getting away from the music. And he said, what's wrong with the music? I told him, it's unholy. And he talked to his buddy, and they conversed, and they turned the music down. I used to like to listen to sports radio, but lately it's becoming a problem. Different gambling companies have started advertising on these shows. And then, additionally, the radio personalities have started talking about their personal sports gambling activities. On one show the other day, the discussion devolved into talking about which cities had the best strip clubs. See, there was a report that one of the big basketball stars, that when he was in cities with the best strip clubs, his game performance was down. Therefore, it was a good betting opportunity. I had to turn off the radio in disgust. Charles Spurgeon said, sin has a way of adapting itself to us in our circumstances. We know that this is true from experience. Over and over again, politicians are corrupted, celebrities are disgraced, sports heroes are shamed, and pastors are forced to leave the ministry. We need to be self-aware. We need to have brothers and sisters in the faith to hold us accountable, to encourage, to exhort, to sustain each other. How many of you have heard of Amazon Prime's video series called Goliath? Anybody? A few. I want to share with you, a little transparency here, how I got reeled into watching this show. While it demonstrates that your pastor is human, more importantly, it shows the deceitfulness of sin. We can learn from each other, and this is part of our encouraging and our exhorting. Now, right off the bat, the name Goliath intrigued me, right? It's biblical. The Bible story of David and Goliath. And it's inspired a lot of other stories about the underdog taking on a Herculean task. Here's how Amazon describes the show. Once a powerful lawyer, Billy McBride is now a washed-up ambulance chaser who spends more time in bars than the courtroom. When Billy reluctantly agrees to pursue a wrongful death lawsuit against the massive law firm he helped create, a vast and deadly conspiracy comes to light. Billy and his team end up in a life-or-death trial against the ultimate foe, which could end up helping Billy find redemption and exact revenge on the firm. The series started in the first year. I think this is the third year. In the first year, it started with the opening theme song called Bartholomew by the group The Silent Comedy. The singer starts by begging God to help. And there are references to baptism and being made clean. There is a call to believe, and the alternative is hell. There is confession. There is truth. And one verse actually recounts Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. I mean, before the first scene, I'm hooked. I love a story of redemption. I love a story where justice is victorious. I love a story where truth is triumphant. Billy Bob Thornton plays the likable and sympathetic character of Billy McBride. William Hurt effectively plays the diabolical lawyer Donald Cooperman. Now, these are high-profile, very good actors. And the whole show is done professionally at a high level. The music, acting, action, and there are many other compelling characters. You could argue that it is just being true to life, but nowadays even the good guys have serious flaws, right? The show gets gritty and shows the dark side of humanity. In fact, much of the scheming is in the dark. And of course, there is cursing and drinking and drugs and smoking and gambling, greed, murder, and mayhem. There are also several sexual situations. But of course, none of them are sex between a husband and wife. Billy unwillingly takes on this lawsuit, and then he violates the lawyer-client relationship by having sex with the client. And then the bad guy, Cooperman, uses his position of power to seduce a young female lawyer. And Billy's ex-wife, she's involved in a lesbian relationship. So why did I tell you all this? Well, I watched 4 or 5 episodes on my laptop. But the next episode I was going to watch in my living room on the large screen TV, you know, bigger than life. But with my wife Carol there, it was pretty hard to ignore the profanity. And then I realized that everyone going by the house could see my TV screen through the windows. What if one of my neighbors, who knew I was a pastor, saw what I was watching? They would suspect me, at minimum, of being a hypocrite. Worse, I would discredit my relationship with Jesus. What if one of you saw me watching such a show? I would undermine my authority and my dignity. And here's the clincher. The Almighty not only sees everything we are doing, He sees everything that we are thinking and dreaming and fantasizing. Now, a person might argue, that's no big deal. No one would really be shocked. After all, look at the percentages of people watching hardcore pornography. By comparison, that show is small potatoes. But I ask you, what does God's word say? Ephesians 5, verses 11 and 12. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. If we are not even to talk about these things, surely we shouldn't be watching them. We shouldn't be celebrating or supporting them. We should avoid all contact with the deeds of darkness. And I pray that I've shed some light to expose the danger of sin's deceitfulness. Yes, it's easy to go astray. For Christians trying to live faithfully, we would reject sin if it was openly offered. So instead, Satan stealthily serves sin in roundabout ways. After all, he is called the deceiver, the father of lies, and a murderer from the beginning. Here, try this. Just have a little taste. It won't do you any harm. You're strong enough to resist. Besides, God will forgive you. In a culture where we are inundated with sin, surrounded by sin, we become a little numb. If everyone is doing it, it can't really be all that bad, can it? Look, even people who profess to follow Jesus are supporting it. In our Lord's Prayer, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox tradition, they pray, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one, Satan. Yes, we need to protect our hearts. We need to keep them tender towards our Lord. We need to stand firm in the Lord Jesus and on the Word of God. Let us exhort each other. Let us encourage each other each day, every day, as long as it is called today. Hold firmly till the end. Believe your God. Believe that God's promises are more faithful than sin's promises. For the deceitfulness of sin can harden your heart and leave you vulnerable to falling away from Christ Jesus. Believe that God's call to holiness is not about keeping rules just to get into heaven. Believe that living for Jesus in this life, holy living, set apart living, is what is best for us here and now, and also in eternity. Believe and be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Good Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and power. We confess, Lord, that there is a part of us that resists, that we want to be the boss of our own life, to do what we believe is right. But Lord, let us have tender hearts that are ready to receive the truth, that are ready to listen to God the Holy Spirit, that we not quench you, Lord, that we are obedient in all things. And when we stumble, for we surely will, let us have a confidence that we are forgiven. For anything in us that denies that we are forgiven is of the devil. No, we are not perfect, but we are forgiven. We celebrate that, Lord. And we pray that we could live a life that shines the light of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we go. It's in his name that I pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. If you've never made a total and complete commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, right now would be the time to do that. If you do, I ask you to share that with somebody you trust. The altar is now open. If you have a burden to lay down or praise to lift up, the altar is here for you.